Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, it's blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down on Almighty Baller Radio. I'm Justin Rowan, my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Another day, another LeBron James subtweet.
I love it.
Would you like to set this up for people since I'm barely capable?
Okay, so once again, LeBron has made one of his famous subtweets. People can debate whether or not it's about Kyrie Irving, as they do with all of his tweets. He basically tweeted a edited version of lyrics from the song Portland off of Drake's More Life. It said, "Never let another ride your wave," which many have taken as saying that Kyrie has kind of rode his way to this point. There's a Freudian slip if I've ever had one. but yeah, people are freaking out about that, which is just so much fun.
What if this is all, like, what if every time LeBron's ever subtweeted, it's just been, he just likes, you know, the song he's tweeting about. Like, he's just like a girl on MySpace, you
okay,
know?
Let's be realistic and... I mean, Chops was supposed to be on this podcast, but he is just terrible. And he would have been more upset about this than you will be. But who at this point is still listening to More Life?
Justin, I cannot make it more clear to you how incapable I am to in having a discussion about any hip-hop record.
That's fair.
Like, I pretty much got, like, Coloring Book by Chance, and that's it. And that's just because people in Chicago have brainwashed me.
I was about to say, that's the most Chicago thing you could have done.
Yeah, that's all I got. I got nothing. I'm worthless. So, like, that's why, like, whenever these LeBron subtweets come out, I'm like, all right, I'll just wait for someone to tweet out the what it's connected to, because I'm not going to figure it out.
Yeah, you and Zavac.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not someone I should be keeping company with in terms of, like...
in terms of anything.
In terms of musical pop culture. Like I'm just going to have to drop, like, 12 or 13 Harry Potter references, and then the transformation will be complete. And that's not a good thing. I don't think I'd need that in my life.
Can I
luckily,
just say that
luckily
while...
he doesn't listen to podcasts, so he'll never know about this.
Oh no, there's he didn't listen when this was the Fear the Sword podcast. Forget the Chase Down.
Yeah, when it was his own baby, it didn't. It was his own website's pod, he was like, ah, no.
That seems like a big hassle. Can I just say that while I've like defended Kyrie's thinking, and not necessarily defended, but I understand where he's coming from with this decision. I also 100% understand where LeBron's coming from. Like, there doesn't necessarily have to be a bad guy in this situation. Like, LeBron casts a shadow by being so great at basketball. There's negative aspects that also come with him, but ultimately it's very worthwhile, and I can understand where Kyrie's coming from. I can also understand LeBron, who has pumped Kyrie's tires over the last 3 years, called him a future MVP candidate, talked about being comfortable handing the reins over to him, has really been a mentor to him and really worked through a lot of tough times and helped him break his bad habits, feeling betrayed by this. Like, I think it's completely understandable.
Yeah, I mean... So something I've been thinking, and I think you're right, I think that LeBron definitely has reason to be, you know, hurt or upset or however you want to phrase it. I have a question. Does whether Kyrie is wrong or not about his ability to be his own man, should that impact the way we react to it?
Because, no, but like, it's going to.
Well, so allow me a stupid hypothetical that's popping into my head right now, and I did just wake up, so bear with me. Let's say we all have a friend that wants to make it big in the music industry. They got a band they really like, and they quit their high-paying job to pursue their band, to go on tour with their band. And we all know the band isn't really good enough to make it. Do we support that friend in that decision?
probably not.
Exactly. Isn't it kind of weird that we're all just like, he can do what he wants. He can do what he wants. And I'm like, well, should he do this? Like, isn't that the better question? Should he want to leave? I don't know. Or is that too easy just because the answer is obviously like, no.
I don't think if that's a perfect comparison.
It's of course it's not, because Kyrie's really good, and like he doesn't have to go to a, it's not like binary, like he's going to go to a losing situation.
If he got traded to
the Spurs, you know, like he probably could win, but like I don't know, it's just weird. It's just weird. I think we should factor it in more than we should, that like this is like obviously like not a good basketball decision.
Right. I mean, there's still scenarios where this might be a good basketball situation. Like, I think if he ends up in Minnesota, that's a core that might be able to compete after the Warriors are done their run.
Yeah.
Whereas the Cavs have absolutely no future assets. You don't know what's happening with LeBron. And maybe this situation isn't... Okay, not maybe. This situation is not available if you wait until next year. Like, getting to Minnesota. Because Wiggins is going to sign his extension if the trade doesn't happen this year. And then it becomes a lot tougher to pull off a deal from a money aspect. And Minnesota might not be willing to trade 5 guaranteed years of Wiggins for a rental of Kyrie, so that scenario goes out the window. But outside of that, I largely agree with your point.
Yeah, it's just weird, I guess. Like, and it's like something that's kind of been bouncing around my head for a minute. And it's not a perfect comparison, as you said, because Kyrie, one, is not our friend. He's not like our buddy. Like, it's just like odd that like
he's also not the Ringo of this group.
Yeah. Well, it's just weird because like it's so interesting the way that we talk about free agency and players taking agency of their situation. It's like this kind of unilateral good thing, and I think that's kind of odd that we've just been like, hey, he's doing what he wants, that's fine. Like, he, like, Kevin Durant can sign wherever he wants, it's fine.
How much, like, of this is that,
like, no one, like, only I think people are arguing with boogeymen is my point. Like, they're arguing with straw men that don't really exist anymore. Is like the, yeah, we all agree that everyone's allowed to do whatever they want. Like, no one's saying that you can't quit your job to tour with your band. It's just like, is it advisable? I don't know. And like, that's why it's so weird when you're trying to like come up with Kyrie destinations that like work in with the realm of fit. Cause it's like, well, why doesn't he just stay where he's at? That's the best situation for him. It's the best compliment for him. There's no one that like accentuates his game more than LeBron.
No. I feel like Twitter has made us feel like we need to live up to a certain standard in how we act and react to things.
That's
like,
very true.
I think there's a combination of how Cavs fans reacted to the decision last time, plus our biggest basketball rival likes to pride themselves on how hashtag woke they are in all situations. And I think how they perceived OKC fans reacting to Durant leaving and the whole players' rights aspect of that, I think that's kind of created like the standard that people feel like they have to hold themselves to, and they have to think of things just purely from an analysis standpoint rather than actually just feeling things.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't understand. I understand functionally why I should want players to be happy, and mostly I do.
But I also want me to be happy.
Yeah, I want me to, like, I mean, like, this is like the hobby I spend all my time doing, like. Like, I want the league to be the way I want it to be. Like, I don't think I have to, like, subvert my own interests in the interests of, like, some some person who's going to make $100 million over the course of their career. Like, I know that, like, it's still a pretty pro-organization and anti-labor league in terms of, like, the there's a cap and there's a draft and like, sure, like that's all problematic, but like, I'm not like shedding tears for these guys. I don't know. Like, it's really confusing and it's a complicated thing to deal with because I do come down on the side of pro labor and I do think people should have the choice to do whatever they want. I don't understand why that, concurrently means they have to love the choices of that everyone makes. That's kind of not the point.
No. Like, I'm still upset at this Kyrie situation.
Yeah,
I get
sucks.
It. But it's upsetting. It's a complete bummer because, one, I don't think the Cavs are going to become a better team after this trade, and that really bums me out. And, two, I would like my favorite player to still be on my favorite team. Like, yeah. I think it's okay that I'm bummed out about this.
Yeah, and it's okay to say, I think he shouldn't have requested a trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although
it was
wrong.
Very interesting to see David Griffin come out and defend him there.
Yeah.
Like, just completely defend him.
Well, I think this is kind of like an interesting thing, and it kind of comes back to, you know, who leaked it and when did the original request come? This is all timeline stuff that's still pretty murky, right? I mean,
right.
Because I mean, if Dan Gilbert was just sitting on this request and didn't want to do anything about it, I get why Kyrie eventually leaked it because he did try to go about it the right way, and maybe it wasn't being taken to heart enough. And if LeBron leaked it, then Kyrie's even more absolved in terms of his process, at least.
Well, Brian Windhorst did say that none of his sources, none of the leaks came from Kyrie's camp. That was the only thing he definitively said, was that none of this came from Kyrie's camp.
Okay. So that confirms that it wasn't Kyrie. So I guess to
me, you sound very impressed by that news.
I just yawned. It's early. I just woke up. It's not that early. To me, like, his process has been fine. He hasn't really said anything, but what the hell is... Like, people are like, oh, Kyrie's still silent. And it's like, what the hell do you want him to say? Like, everything that was reported is what he needed to say, you know? Like, he doesn't need to go on Barbara Walters and talk about how he wants to get away from LeBron. Like, that's really bad business to do that anyway. You have to kind of let things work out. I don't think I have any qualms. I mean, the Steph and video making fun of LeBron was like, Jesus, that's a bad look right now, man.
Yeah, that was just
but
very,
like,
ill-advised.
His actual process in requesting the trade, I don't think was bad. Do you? I mean, I think the fact that he wants to leave is kind of problematic, given how good the situation is for him. But
what are the
odds?
Not
my choice.
So David Griffin going on there talking about the shadow LeBron cast said, Kyrie did exactly what he was supposed to do. This is all understandable. I get where he's coming from. Part of it, me being like, okay, so Griff didn't even say that he was surprised by this. There was no, like, other side of the coin. Do you think, to some extent, he might have scorched some earth on the way out or poisoned the well? And that was what kind of led to this situation, because I've talked about how I think the front office instability was kind of the final nail in the coffin, and maybe that accelerated when Kyrie made this request. Maybe that would be something that he did down the line, but I really think the front office instability is what ultimately got this, or brought the situation to the forefront. Do you think it's possible that Griffin might have poisoned the well to some extent?
You know, it's really interesting. First off, I don't think so. I think it's more like the well was kind of obviously dirty.
Like, right.
Anyone could walk by the well and go, don't drink that. And it's interesting because I feel like the way you feel about the Cavs' recent, turmoil is kind of a Rorschach test. It kind of says more about you almost in a lot of ways than it does about the actual situation, because I don't think we really know a lot. So, like, you see if you're frustrated by LeBron not committing long term, you see Kyrie and go, hey, see, he's trying to get out before LeBron leaves, so he's just taking control of his situation. If you are still rightfully irritated that the Cavs bungled the David Griffin situation, like, so thoroughly, you look at and you say, well, that was probably the final straw. Or if you think Kyrie is just kind of a little bit of a diva that has a little, that loves Kobe a little too much, that is then is healthy, then you say, look, he's trying, he thinks he's Kobe, but he's not. What an idiot.
Because these are all legitimate factors.
Yeah, they're all real, genuine things that matter. But like the one that's the final straw, the one that pushes it over the edge, is like, is always going to be your pet.
Right.
Project. And like it's, I mean, obviously you correctly were really frustrated by the David Griffin thing. I don't know if he poisoned the well, is my point. I just think he...
I don't necessarily think that that's his style. I just thought it was a question that's worth asking.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the Griffin thing, his appearance, you got to understand, I think, that he worked really closely with Kyrie for a long time. He understands how Kyrie works. I almost felt like he was speaking in Kyrie's voice on that.
Yeah,
appearance.
It really seemed that way.
Like, it was like, it wasn't even necessarily advocacy to me as much as like, hey, here's where Kyrie's coming from. And, you know, he did defend him from the Harper comments, which were pretty harsh. But like, it was more along the lines of, hey, like, this is where this guy's coming from, which I mean, I didn't hear anything that was new there. It just kind of confirmed, like, this is how he feels. And I think that's kind of what Griffin set out to do with that answer, was saying, hey, here's Kyrie's side of the story.
Yeah, and the biggest takeaway for me was David Griffin really knows these players well. Like, yep. It's very clear that he understands where these guys are coming from, and he knew how to manage these personalities. He knew how to get the most out of these guys. And once again, that just kind of brought up more frustration that they didn't keep Griffin. And for me, that's just always going to be the thing that's going to bother me the most. And that's going to be where I assign the bulk of the blame.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it was a lot of weird stuff that all culminated in this. And like, I just don't know who will ever really know what was more responsible than the other. Like, because even stuff that gets reported later, after this all settles down, is colored by the narrative that Irving's team is going to want to craft, is that Gilbert's team is going to want to craft, that LeBron's team is going to want to craft. And it's never, you'll never know. I mean, maybe it was LeBron all along, and he just didn't want to play with him anymore, and he saw him, you know, going out the door, and that frustrated him. But I just don't know if that's going to be the message that Irving's team sends out, because it's not a very flattering one, I don't think. It's more easy just to say, hey, I wanted to be my own man, and I think that's what he'll do. And that's not going to be that reliable, because it's going to be very processed and filtered. And, like, unless you're operating in the minds of these players, I just don't think that we're going to get that, like, nice, neat closure. There's going to be a narrative sold, but I don't know if that's the narrative that's actually reality.
Unless that story about LeBron sleeping with Kyrie's girlfriend gets confirmed by Kyrie.
As you started talking, I was like, oh, is he going to go here on the pod?
Of course I'm going to go there on the pod. We got to bring the heat.
We're going to get sued for it's not libels in print, right?
Not yeah. Libel. And I'm just bringing up something that a very not reputable source
brought to the table.
Are
you saying the real Lambo isn't reputable? I've been following that guy on Instagram for a minute. He is a fascinating fella.
I don't know much backstory there.
Oh, he's just a colorful character. Dated Gloria James for some time. I don't think they're dating anymore. And that's all I know about him. And he has funny Instagram videos and pictures. That's all I got. It is weird, man. Like, it's funny the players when you hear players talk about it, like, some are like, yeah, it makes sense that he might want to leave. And it's like, what do you know? Were you not surprised by this? Because then you got, like, John Wall, who's like, I don't understand. But John Wall's, like, I think pretty in with LeBron.
Much anyone that's lined up with Clutch is like, I don't get this.
Yeah, it's just funny. You know, we'll see how this plays out. I still want to know how ugly this gets at the end. Because hey, guess what?
We want to find out.
Yeah, other than the Kyrie video, it's really been mostly like pretty low key. It's been like a lot of invented stuff. Like the subtweet's really the first shot from LeBron at Kyrie, it seems. So, yeah, I just don't know. I think Cavs fans are going to hate Kyrie for a long time, which is sad.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but like prior to the return, you had Cavs fans that were split on Kyrie. There was the Kyrie yep. versus Dion stuff, and there were people that just didn't like his diva attitude, which let's call a spade, that's what it was. Then after that, you get the LeBron fans that come in from all over the world because they follow one of the greatest players ever.
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Part of the territory.
And then you get more Cleveland sports fans who root for Cleveland sports teams and whichever are doing the best. I think it attracted the more casual Cleveland sports fans. And I think getting the city understanding the mindset of Cleveland fans was really important to those people. I think the LeBron fans, the Cleveland sports fans, are going to be very anti-Kyrie, are going to boo him when he comes back. And I think a lot of Cavs fans that had stuck around through the lean years, they're still going to be split. But I think there's a lot more understanding I'm seeing from those people than the rest of Cavs fans.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair interpretation. But I think, unfortunately, for the way it's going to play out, is that so the people that stuck around all along, that split 50-50. It's the people who, because you can even tell, like, the people who used to, like, not really like Kyrie back then, or, you know, be frustrated with him, they're mm-hmm. right. They're right back. And, like, they're getting, you can see the narrative darkening for them.
Right.
Like, man, screw this guy kind of vibes. And then the people who liked him and kind of stayed fairly, like, on board were like, oh, this is, you know, he's fine. You know, they're still fairly supportive, still hit the greatest shot in franchise history. And, but, so you have that group is split 50-50. But, unfortunately, that's a fairly small group. And you have all the casuals who are not going to be a fan. Because they feel like he basically said that they weren't good enough for him. Like, there's that kind of inferiority complex, I think, tapping in a little bit. And then you also have all the LeBron fans who are loud, who are going to be not a fan. And now, and you look at the group that will be, you know, supportive in the short term, comparative to all these groups, they're going to be a pretty huge minority, I think.
Right.
And I do think there's going to be a reconciliation. I just think people, and like, screw off Warriors fans right now, because to be clear, it's not the same as Steph just leaving at the end of his contract. Forcing a trade because you don't want to play on the team anymore is different. It hurts fan bases' feelings.
Yeah.
Especially casuals who don't have the time or interest to, like, think through all the factors.
Yep.
They're just going to be like, damn, you Warriors don't want to play for us anymore?
So
screw that guy.
Over this. I mean, they always are, but...
So. Yeah. Like, it's like, I get why a casual fan would be upset. Like, who am I... Like, I don't know. It's like the classic thing. Like, do you want people to care? Because casual fans are going to care about stuff, and they're not going to have super nuanced opinions on it because they're casual fans.
And that's fine.
But they're going to show up. I'd rather them show up and care. So I don't know, man. I'm pretty annoyed about the reaction to it all, while being also really interested by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still think the
Will you still wear your Kyrie stuff around?
Yeah, probably.
I have a shirt with Kyrie on it. It's a drawing by Dan Rowell. Check out his stuff if you haven't. Dan's a great guy. It's this cool picture of Kyrie with a Cleveland jersey on. And I was doing laundry. I was getting ready to head to work, getting dressed. And I was like, you know what? I'm wearing the damn shirt. Because if I don't wear the shirt now, it's going to go to the bottom of the shirt pile. and I'm not going to want to wear it anymore, and it's going to be awkward. I'm like, damn it, I like Kyrie represents a great moment for me, and I don't care how sour it got, I'm still wearing the damn shirt. I had to have that moment of like, is this going to be a thing I just don't wear anymore? You know?
I mean, I still rock my Booby Gibson jersey, so.
See, I don't wear jerseys. I have a strong belief that white people shouldn't wear basketball jerseys. I think you can wear everything else.
I feel like any situation where you would wear a tank top, you can rock a jersey. And I also wear them to work out.
Well, let me be very clear. I also don't wear tank tops. That's not really my vibe.
You're more of a checkered shirt guy?
Yep, checkered shirt. I lean on the spectrum of bro to hipster. I land far on the hipster side of things.
See, that's why we work so well.
And you obviously land on the far other end of that spectrum. In fairness, you're probably like the closest thing to a minority in Winnipeg, so.
Good God, man.
That wasn't even based on anything. I have no clue. No,
there's so little cultural understanding.
I have no clue what Winnipeg is. Like, to me, it's basically Iceland. I don't know.
You are very, very off. You should probably not get into that.
I had a feeling I was very off, and I was just going to let you correct me.
Nah, we're fine. Going back to the Cavs, I think before we should wrap this off, we should kind of get into what we think is the most likely thing to happen for Kyrie. I have a theory.
A theory. That's a Carter special, is the I have a theory. Mm-hmm. So let's hear what you got.
So Cavs beat guys have been really quiet since this news has broken. They have not talked about a lot of scenarios. They have not talked a lot of rumors or discussions that's going on. It's basically all coming from outside. But whenever they do talk about, whether it be Brian Windhorst, Dave McMinniman, or whoever, they always bring up Minnesota. And that's basically the only team that gets brought up. And I just think it's really interesting that Glenn Taylor came out and was like, oh yeah, Wiggins is clearly a max player. We'd give him the max. Wiggins says he wants to get a max, but the deal isn't done. Then Glenn Taylor comes out and says, well, I want to find out if he's willing to work on his game, which is a really weird thing to say.
It's a huge slap in the face.
Yeah. And Glenn Taylor's kind of known for crapping all over his players as they're on the way out. So I think that's starting to lay the seeds of doubt. I think if both sides wanted to stay there and to get this done, the deal would already be done. So I really think that Kyrie is going to Minnesota for Wiggins and something else.
It's possible. I still think that he's starting camp with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I think so, too.
I just think it's going to be... You didn't last week. I'm surprised by that. I think Kyrie is not... I think teams are just going to... are not going to get near the asking price that Altman seems to be looking for. And he's going to say, all right, fine, come back with something better.
The Josh Jackson kind of deadline, or not deadline, but the first day that he could be traded passing by kind of changed my opinion. Because now I'm
that doesn't change my opinion at all, because I just think they don't want to. I don't think they want to trade him. They might break or bend, or, you know, if something... there might be some calculus change that leads to them breaking on that. But to me, it's like, I don't know. I just don't think... I think Altman seems a little more patient and like seems like he's really looking not to get destroyed on this trade.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably a good idea.
Which is a good idea. Which means you don't set deadlines you don't need to set. And you don't rush to make a trade just to avoid an awkward situation. These guys have had plenty of awkward situations before. It'll be okay. They'll figure it out. They're pros. Will LeBron be thrilled about it? Probably not. But you also can't say, okay, just give us Eric Bledsoe and Dragan Bender's bum ass.
God, he's so bad.
He's terrible. So, like, you can't do that. So as a result, this is what you have to do. You have to wait. You have to play offers against each other. And we're going to see how good Kobe is at negotiating in the next couple months. But also worth noting, I think a lot of NBA writers take vacation around this time. So that's also probably why it was so quiet. I think a lot of these guys have just, like, not been around.
That is fair. I'm more vocal, or I was more vocal, in trashing Bender when that report came out. And I don't know if you saw this, but I actually had more than one person being like, I'd rather keep Bender over Booker. And I was sitting there, like, trying to figure out, like,
God, I was nerd Twitter sucks ass.
I was basically like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover, trying to like pour over Bender tapes to find like something that you could find that you'd be like, oh, that's why.
No, nerds just suck. And they don't understand that Devin Booker's going to be pretty good once he figures everything out.
Is it like, I don't even know, man.
They're just nerds. Nerds are frustrating. You may know that's not a very woke basketball take, but I'm sitting here with my hat in my hands.
Look at you just sliding further to bro on the scale.
Yeah. That's horrible. Yeah, so I guess we'll see. I still think Phoenix considers Jackson if it looks like they're going to lose out on a deal. I think they're playing hardball right now because I think they think they've got the best offer on the table. Which they do they? Would you rather have Dragic or Winslow? Dragic and Winslow,
and like Richardson. Maybe one,
and yeah, Richardson, or
yes,
Bledsoe, Dragan in a first.
I would rather have Dragic, Winslow, and Richardson.
I think I would too.
Dragic is a better fit than Bledsoe, even though he's older. Like Dragic had a great year last year.
Yeah, he's awesome. He does struggle when he's not the lead ball handler, though, historically. So that
I would imagine Bledsoe perfect. Will as well. Like Bledsoe hasn't been that either, and he's 6 feet tall, very reliant on athleticism that's been taken away with surgeries, and he can't shoot. So, yep. I mean, as much as I don't think Winslow is a great fit, I know that he is a good defender, and he is definitely better than Bender. Like
he has
I just
more
think,
utility.
I think there's a possibility that Bender might be out of the league in 3 years. I don't think that with Winslow. And then Richardson is likely going to be better than some 2013 pick that Phoenix can include.
2013?
Well, 2021, whatever.
Well, I think they can just give us next year's pick, right?
I don't believe so.
Hold on.
But if it's a lotto-protected pick.
Yeah, if it's lotto protected, it'll roll for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that.
I mean, if they're giving us an unprotected pick, then yeah, sure, that changes things.
Yeah, it's a bummer for Phoenix it's a bummer for the Cavs that I don't like any of Phoenix's like secondary players very much.
No, like they're all like, pretty mediocre to offer.
Yeah, it's like not a matter of like. They have no young players that have some talent. I just don't like any of them. Like Marquess Chris doesn't mean anything to me. They can give any of their first rounders. They have no picks outgoing.
It's part of why I don't understand why Phoenix would be a buyer in this Kyrie situation. Because I'm like, if you're cashing in some of your chips, like if you're cashing in Jackson, all of a sudden it's Booker, Kyrie, and nothing else.
Yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs with Kyrie. That is my least favorite, like, from a basketball perspective. Like, I don't want LeBron. I don't want Kyrie to go there.
That would make me sad.
I think it's just basketball, like, purgatory. No one will watch. They're not going to be good. They play ugly basketball.
He could average 28-7 on a 50-40-90 while playing good defense, and they'd still miss the playoffs the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, so.
There would be takes.
Yeah, if we're power ranking like fun Kyrie destinations, I think Spurs would be the most interesting just because like him and Popovich would kill each other. Knicks would be super fun. T-Wolves would be super interesting. Nuggets would be interesting, but I think he and Jokic would probably not play that well together. And Phoenix would be probably my least favorite. I just don't want him to go there. Mm-hmm. And you have to obviously protect your interests more if you're Kobe Altman, don't, you shouldn't be thinking that way, but I can.
Yeah. No. So I agree. Anyway, all right. Well, that seems like a good place. Yeah. We both were like, eh, we've had enough of each other for another week.
Yep.
But if you enjoy us and you don't get sick of us, then make sure that you do leave either a rating or a review. All of that stuff helps and is the best way to support the show. So we'll be back next week, hopefully with more to talk about. The universe seems to provide, so let's hope that streak continues. But thanks as always for listening, and as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.